How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Rolling Lines and Apples and Genos production. My name is Josh Hutchinson, and I'll be your host. We are live on YouTube. We're going to be talking about moves for the rest of the week, power play changes around the league, 0G candidates, and we'll be taking mailbag questions. So without further ado, let's go. And my guest today is a man of many talents. He is the co-host of the Fantasy Hockey Life podcast and the Dauber Prospects Report. He's a writer for EP Ringside. He's an editor for Dauber Prospects. Ladies and gentlemen, the fantasy hockey doctor himself, Victor Nuno. How you doing, Victor?
I'm doing great. So great to be on. Thanks so much for inviting me, Josh. And I really love all the stuff you guys are doing over at A&G. So it's nice to be on with you the first time.
Thanks, man. I thank you for coming on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, but I wanted a situation where there were some prospects to talk about. And I felt like post-trade deadline, we'll dive into it a little bit, but there are some situations where there's some prospects getting some burn in fresh new places. So I thought this was kind of the perfect time to have Victor on. So You just finished recording Dauber Prospects Report with Peter Harling. So you're a busy guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. Check that out if you don't already.
Definitely. All right, let's dive right into it, man. So usually what we do to start off the episode is just take a look at the last week and kind of see how teams are doing around the league. Some of the hottest players at the top of the scoring list. So the New York Rangers were actually the only 3-0 team in the league over the last week. Kind of surprising. There's usually a few teams that are undefeated. But then we also at the bottom of the league, there are a number of teams. Pittsburgh has just been dreadful. The Detroit Red Wings have caught a cold streak. They are maybe one of the streakiest teams in the league this year, both hot and cold. The Anaheim Ducks just kind of doing their thing, and the Seattle Kraken they just can't get into the win column over the last week. They've been in a lot of tight games and just haven't been able to get it done. That was a tough finish last night against Vegas. I don't know if you, did you see any of that, Victor?
Oh yeah, I was watching it, and I actually tweeted, "How funny would it be if Vegas loses?" Because that's when Seattle was up 4-2, and I was like, oh, this is hilarious, this would be so great. And then of course what happens, I jinxed it. Vegas came back and won, and I was like,
yeah. Yeah, this is just gonna be the start of like they're gonna win out the rest of the season. They're gonna get the top spot in the Western Conference and just trample everybody in the playoffs
probably.
So Connor Bedard was first in the league in points over the last week. He has 8 points in his last three games. Had just an awesome night against the Anaheim Ducks the other night with a 5-point game. Teuvo Teravainen and Kirill Kaprizov, both with 7 points in four games. Pavelski, Jack Eichel, and Jason Robertson all had 6 points in three games. And then Andrei Svechnikov and Yegor Sharangovich both had 6 points in four games. It's nice to see Connor Bedard right at the top of that list. I think he's going to be a mainstay there week to week in the coming years. So it's cool to see him do it here. How do you feel about that, Victor?
Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculous. He's he's really fun to watch. But also, you know, you see the opponents. He lit it up against Anaheim and Arizona. I'm not sure that he scores as much against, you know, some of the stiffer competition. In fact, if you just look at his game log, it's generally against the tougher teams. He's getting donuts, you know, Colorado, Winnipeg, Philly, not doing as much. So, but he's the kind of player that eventually he's going to get the points no matter what. And he's already kind of showing that. And yeah, he's ridiculously good. So it'll be fun to see where he goes in drafts next year for sure. Cause his talent is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to do it all yourself, man. It's he's got Nick Foligno and Philip Kurashev on his wings right now, and he's making them look like all stars. So, mm-hmm. I mean, pretty impressive from Connor Bedard lately. Pretty amazing. It's that is not the combination that I would have expected. I was feeling Lucas Reichel at the start of the year, maybe playing on his wing, but Reichel's been a bit of a disappointment in terms of fantasy this year. How do you feel about Lucas Reichel? This is just kind of off the cuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read a lot about that, about the coach situation, and it sounds like they don't want Lucas Reichel to just ride coattails. They want him to drive his own line. Eventually, they want him to be the guy or a guy just like Bedard is. And so he wasn't doing that. He was struggling, and he has had some success, but it sounds like they really want more from him. And they want him to play a different, you know, sort of style that he was not doing. And so that's kind of why they've asked him to do some different things. But I do think that last year, in fact, I went back at someone's advice and looked at all the points he scored in the NHL. And I don't think it's necessarily the most sustainable way that he scored those goals. And I think that is showing this year in how much he struggled. So I think that we should all temper our expectations in terms of his scoring a bit, because I think it was a little inflated in the AHL scoring that he was doing before he got called up and in that brief stint last season. So probably scale that back a little bit, I would say.
Fair enough. All right, let's look at the schedule for the rest of the week. So from Thursday to Sunday, we've got Anaheim with the best schedule. They have three games with two off nights. Chicago and Winnipeg, we just mentioned Chicago. They have two games with two off nights. Colorado, Edmonton, Nashville, Vancouver all only have one game left on that busy Saturday. So those are probably teams you don't want to be streaming from or dropping players from. Chicago, I mean, we were just talking about it. I feel like Foligno and Kurashev are actually kind of perfect streamers to finish out the week. Like those guys have been popping. Foligno had four assists in that game. And he honestly, I picked him up in a Bangers Cats a couple weeks ago when Chicago had a pretty good schedule. And I've just held on to him because he's been kind of filling the stat sheet across the board. He hits, he's been shooting a little bit. And then just kind of getting in on the Connor Bedard magic. How do you feel about Nick Foligno?
Well, I always like Foligno for exactly what you said. There's a floor there. He's going to do something for you. He's not going to be empty calories. Yeah. Kurashev can pop off, and he can also give you goose eggs. So he's a more risky stream, I would say. So I definitely, but I like both these guys. I mean, anyone playing with Bedard. I mean, we're already at that point. Mm-hmm. We've been there for most of the season. You want anyone playing with Bedard. Even Seth Jones has come alive lately. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's had a rough season. So yeah, no, definitely I would take anyone playing with him, anyone on the power play even, and certainly his even strength line mates. He's shown that he can pull anyone, even Philip Kurashev or Nick Foligno, who seemed kind of cooked as of last season, that to relevance.
All right, and then we'll dive into next week. So we're getting down to the fantasy hockey playoffs. I know in some of our leagues, you and I are in a couple leagues that you run with multiple divisions, where we're already in the semifinals at this point. Mm-hmm. in the tidy and the Dauber Prospects Report dynasty league. But for a lot of leagues, a playoff start next week. So this week is very important. We've got the Washington Capitals with by far the best schedule. They have four games and three off nights. Another notable team with four games, Seattle, has four games and two off nights. There's not a ton of off nights to go around next week. Arizona and Dallas both have three games with two off nights. There are actually no teams with less than three games next week. So it's a pretty nice schedule week. You're just going to have a bit of a hard time getting players into your lineup, or you're going to have to be making hard decisions in terms of sitting and starting on the heavy nights. Just because everyone's playing. So we've also got to start the week. Buffalo has a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. They're the only team in the league that has that. They also have four games total, just the one off night on that Monday. But that's another team you might want to be looking to stream from. And then Washington, again, they have the best schedule, but they start with a Monday, Wednesday start to the week on those two off nights. So another team you probably should be targeting. There's a lot of Capitals available. I mean, I don't know that you're going to get really nice production out of many of them, but it's a team you want to look long and hard at. Any notes here before we go into our ads and drops?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to, if the playoffs are starting, then you want to get as many games as you can. So I would definitely, if you can, load up on that early start to the season. And certainly there's a lot of good options right now with Washington. They are a surprisingly productive team. So I'd definitely be looking at them, as well as Arizona has been a little struggled a little bit more, but you also have to think about who the easiest is to stream from, you know, because that's sometimes an issue. And Dallas, I mean, anyone who picked up Logan Stankoven is laughing right now. Yeah. So if you haven't picked him up, I don't know what you're doing. Go get him. And Wyatt Johnston seems to have reawoken from a slumber. So there's some options in there for sure, but you definitely, obviously it depends on your schedule, who you can fit in and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's some good options there for sure.
Yeah, I talked about those two guys last week, just as guys that you should be picking up regardless of the schedule. They're doing everything you want. Wyatt Johnston, one of the best players in the league in terms of individual shot and chance generation this year, and he is just absolutely popping off. I was really excited when he was playing, when he took Pavelski's spot on the top line this year. I hope that he could maybe stick there, but unfortunately he's back down the third line, but him and Stankoven have found some magic there. It's pretty cool to see. I know you're pretty high on Stankoven. You've always been a big Logan Stankoven supporter, but so my ad of the week is TJ Oshie. So in terms of the Washington Capitals, you talked about how there's a lot of good options. TJ Oshie, in terms of guys that are available, that's my favorite choice right now. He is just back from injury. He was red hot before he went down with his most recent injury. That's the biggest issue with TJ Oshie, is he's never healthy. He's never in the lineup. You can't trust him to be healthy, but right now he is. So came back for one game. Didn't do anything really notable, but I'm like, his numbers on the season are really nice. 29th in the NHL in individual scoring chances, 4/60 on the season. Right now he's playing with Pacioretty and Connor McMichael 5v5, and he's playing on power play one. He hits a pretty decent amount for someone who contributes offensively as much as he does. I would grab him while he's healthy, especially for this next week and even the following weeks. Washington has a really nice playoff schedule. They're probably the best team to be streaming from for the next 3 weeks. So that's a guy you definitely want to be targeting. How do you feel about Oshie? Are there any other options on Washington that you're interested in here, Victor?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. He has been in this situation for a long time. He does get injured a lot, so that's annoying. I moved away from him in a couple of dynasties just because of that factor. Like, it's hard to rely on him, but certainly for the short term, yeah, he's a guy who you're going to want on your power play if you're the Caps. So, you know, it makes sense that you would grab him even if he's not doing as much. I also just, I look at these lines for Washington and it's just confusing how they're so good. Like, it doesn't look like a team that should be doing as well as they are, but I do think the kids have come a long way. You know, Protas, McMichael, Lapierre, they're all, you know, punching, even Marochnichenko punching above their weight class. And, you know, you love to see that. I think that Lapierre, you know, he's hot right now, even though right at evens, he's playing, he doesn't have the best deployment. You know, he's playing with at least current, according to last lines, with Milano and Pacioretty, which, you know, isn't nothing, but it's not, you know, as exciting. Although I wonder what the most exciting line is, because these all kind of seem like not the best.
Yeah, they're kind of mixed around right now.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Yeah. But yeah, I like him because he's hot in terms of his production. Milano is someone that I'm always a little skeptical about, just because he's kind of one of these empty calorie guys. He's either gonna get you like some really good points, or he's gonna do nothing, which is frustrating. And in our other leagues that count things like Fenwick and takeaways, he can give you negative some nights, which is very frustrating. So I don't like that. But I think Lapierre is really coming into his own. I like that. I think McMichael is, you know, is as likely as just about anyone else to get points. And Protoss at least does a little bit more of the peripherals for you. But I think these are all kind of similar. So you might just choose. Marushchenko is playing with Ovi and Strom right now. So he's probably the top of the list. Mm-hmm. But that might change.
Who's your ad?
Yeah, well, I'm going to give you two because I think one is really highly dependent on if he's available. And that's Seth Jones. He's 54%. And, you know, the Caps or the Blackhawks go Wednesday, Friday at the end of this week. Is that what I meant? Or did I mean Friday, Sunday?
Friday, Sunday.
Is that what makes I sense. Meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That's happening right now is Wednesday. So, yeah. He's been someone that I drafted everywhere. One of the things we do at Fantasy Hockey Life is always kind of interrogate how many places we have all the different players, and he was one of my top roster players. I think I had him in 7 or 8 different leagues, Seth Jones, and it was rough for most of the season. He was not holdable in a lot of formats, but he has resurfaced, and he's getting, you know, all the power play time. They were giving Korchinski time, even some other guys at times, but it has been Jones is getting a ton of power play time right now. He's scoring some points. Sometimes they come in bursts, but he's not doing amazing with perifs, but he's still getting some blocks here and there, and he's shooting a ton. I mean, kind of averaging close to 4 shots the last 10 games or so. So I think Jones is really kind of turning it around, and for the schedule, you know, it's pretty nice. I mean, for the Friday, Sunday, you don't necessarily need to go for a defenseman though, because you probably can fit a forward in. So maybe that's a little less exciting, but he could be really, really good. So I like that one, but he might not be available in your league. Do you want to comment on that one?
I'm a big Seth Jones guy. I drafted him in a number of spots. I have him in the tidy. There were times at points this year where people are like, you need to be dropping this guy. And I'm just like, no, I'm holding on. He's gonna get some exposure to Bedard. It's gonna happen. He's gonna figure it out. It'll be fine. And luckily at the right time, he's kind of figuring it out. So so that's been nice for me. But I'm a big Seth Jones guy for sure. Not necessarily in real hockey, but in fantasy hockey. I don't know that he's not worth his contract. And defensively, he's a little suspect at times, but I think that as long as he's got exposure to Connor Bedard, I'm pretty happy with Seth Jones for sure. So I support that. Definitely. You have another name here that you want to talk about.
Yeah. And that is Alex Iafallo, who is like the complete opposite, 3% rostered. So this is a very deep cut. And part of this is just kind of like, well, who's available in Winnipeg? So, you know, you might have other people more available. Tyler Toffoli is most likely not available to you. He would certainly be a top choice for me because he's playing with, well, Shifley's out tonight. So playing with Kyle Connor and Monahan, but that would be Shifley. There's some other guys too, like Mason Appleton, who's getting some decent deployment, Nemesnikov, who I never trust with Ehlers, but Iafallo is there playing with Ehlers. And so, you know, that's good, you know, good even strength spot. And sometimes he even creeps his way on the top power play, which he probably will tonight without Shifley. So you never know. That could be a good thing. The even strength deployment is nice. There's also been some times where he's played with Toffoli and Monahan. So, I mean, there are certainly worse situations. And Iafallo, as we're recording this, did have a goal in the last game. So it's possible against who was that, Washington. He had a goal on 1 shot. So, you know, kind of lucky. But I do think that for a deep cut, I would go for, I kind of like these teams often. I like to consider where they are in the standings. And Winnipeg, even though they're getting beat 2-0 by Nashville right now, they're a good team that tend to score. And they're, you know, jockeying for position in the playoffs. And so I kind of like that as opposed to, you know, maybe a team that's kind of out of it and their players might be disinterested or might not have much to play for. So sometimes I like to consider that.
Yeah. Iafallo is a guy that I don't love. He's a guy that gets really nice deployment for a lot of the year though. And tends to be like a next guy up. Even when he was in LA, he got time on the top line with Kopitar and Kempe a lot. and got power play time. So yeah, as long as he's getting that deployment, I'm into it. It's so funny when I see Iafallo online too, I automatically am just like, oh, Ehlers is just getting pushed down the lineup, because I just assume that Rick Bowness is just pushing Ehlers as far down as he possibly can. But he is playing on the top line right now, so I can't get too upset about that. But I support Iafallo as long as he's with Monahan and Toffoli. I love Winnipeg's deadline. That was, I don't think it was talked about enough, but I think the acquisition of Monahan and Toffoli is going to be massive for them. They essentially added a second line, which is pretty incredible. My drop is Elias Lindholm. This may be slightly controversial, but I mean, maybe not so much. Maybe if you talk to Vancouver fans. Like if I talk to Blake Creamer, I think he'd probably be agreeing with me right now. I think he might be in the chat. So shout me out if you're there, Blake. But Vancouver only has one game left this week. Elias Lindholm has lost his spot on power play one to Connor Garland. I spoke with Blake about this on our trade deadline live stream. I feel like Garland is a bit of a better fit there, just his style of play. They had Elias Lindholm kind of as a net front guy, and I don't think that's really the style of player that he is. I think Garland kind of fits that a little bit better, but, 5v5, he's playing with Connor Garland and, Vasily Podkolzin. His ice time is down from over 20 minutes when he first got to Vancouver to around 14 to 15 minutes over the last few games. So that's a significant drop. He has one assist in his last 9 games and has only had more than one shot on goal in a game once over that 9-game stretch. So, and there have been a number of games where he's had 0. So not a good look right now for Elias Lindholm. It's really been a really tough situation ever since, I mean, essentially those first few games in Vancouver. So what do you think about Lindholm right now? Are you dropping him at this point? Like, it's kind of do or die right now.
Yeah, I actually did drop him a couple places that I had him. I had him in the cup full. I was very happy after the trade deadline and for that first few games, as you mentioned. And then it was just, there was nothing. There were goose eggs, you know. It was really, really hard to roster. And, you know, maybe you could be swayed by some good deployment or anything like that, but no. And the reality is that Vancouver is such a deep team. They don't need him to play in the top of the lineup. And that was part of the concern when he moved there. But then you thought, he's kind of clicking with EP40, so maybe the Swedes can hang out together, but that just really hasn't been the case for a while now. So yeah, I agree with you. I think he's, you know, this is what happens at the trade deadline. Often guys, really good players, go to a good team and they become depth pieces instead of the focal point, and it hurts their value. So I would definitely, I mean, if you can hold him and you're in a good position, then maybe, but probably there are better options that you can stream from, especially if you're a strong team. He's probably not even going to be playing, you know, so go find someone else.
Who are you dropping, Victor?
Well, this might be a bit controversial too. Tommy Novak is going to be my drop. And even though he's not very highly rostered, that may seem like he's 4% on Yahoo, but he's hot right now. He has been, scoring a fair amount, and that is one reason that you might want to keep him. Obviously, he's got 3 points. He's got points in 3 straight, 4 out of the last 5, and he's only not pointed 4 times in the last 20 games. That's pretty impressive. But that's the thing about him, is that that's basically what he does, is that he is points or nothing. He has 1.5 shots a game. He doesn't hit, and he actually is close to a third of a block per game. So he sometimes blocks, but generally he doesn't do anything unless he's scoring. And so for Tommy Novak, that's kind of rough. And so next, he plays the rest of this week. He only plays the busy Saturday, and then next week he's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So he might not even make it into your lineup. And even though he has been good, it's kind of one of those things where you just say thanks for your service and move on to someone else, because I have him in a couple of my dynasty leagues. Obviously I'm not dropping him there, but he's just not gonna play enough, and you can probably get you know, some off night games, at least get like a Monday, Tuesday or something, or stream that spot. So even though it may be tough to let go of someone who's been doing so well, I think you got to consider dropping Tommy Novak. What do you think?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think Novak's a guy, like you mentioned, he can be an empty calorie guy, where if he's not putting points on the board, he's not doing anything for you. That's definitely has been my opinion of him. Really, he's a guy that I stream when he gets power play one time, but right now he's not there. They've got Evangelista in that spot. They've kind of rocked with the Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, Yossi, and then that fifth guy has kind of rotated throughout the year. But right now it's Evangelista. The last time that I looked, I don't know what it's like, what it is tonight. But he seemed to be getting that time lately. So, I 100% agree with it, with a Tommy Novak drop, even if it doesn't feel good, because they've just got that one game left this week. So especially if you're a team that's like, you need this win to get into the playoffs. That's definitely a guy you need to be dropping right now for someone with more games, someone from Anaheim or Chicago or teams like that. All right, let's go to the power play planner. We'll just look at a few power plays around the league that have had some significant changes. Obviously, Arizona, they've got Alex Kerfoot back on there. There's not really much to say about that. I just wanted to point that out. I don't know what Alex Kerfoot must be just the best guy in the world, honestly, because everywhere that he's at, he gets these incredibly undeserved minutes. And opportunities. And I just don't understand it. I don't know, man. Do you have any thoughts on Kerfoot? We had him here in Toronto for a while, and it was tough to watch. Keith loves the guy.
Well, I think the thing that you can say that's positive about him is that he's extremely versatile. He's not very good at he's not great at anything, but he's okay at everything. And so you can put him in any situation. Coaches love that. I understand that. But also, yeah, they're on a good team, there are better options, basically. And so, that's important to keep in mind. And, you know, even when he was in that prime position in Colorado, when they were stacked and he was getting, you know, like power play time, and he still wasn't doing anything, you know. So, he's frustrating.
Yeah, I think I'm still bitter that the Leafs, he was the main piece in the trade that came back for Nazem Kadri, and then Kadri absolutely popped after that for Colorado, and they ended up winning a cup. So that it hurts me a little bit. Buffalo, they've got Bowen Byram playing on the top power play, which is really exciting for me. I've always been a guy that's been really high on Bo Byram. This year I drafted him like crazy, just thinking that he was going to pop off, as like a 4D in your fantasy lineup. I thought that he'd return you some really nice value. Hasn't been the case this year in Colorado, but he's getting a really nice opportunity here in Buffalo, playing on a 2-defense power play with Rasmus Dahlin. They've got Tuck Thompson and Cousins as the 3 forwards right now. But he's been pretty productive in his first few games. What do you think, Victor? You're pretty high on Bo Byram as well.
Yeah, I've been a Byram truther for a long time, and I'm in a 4-sport dynasty that I just do the hockey part with a co-manager. And right now I'm against my FHL co-host Jesse Severe in that league. And Bo Byram is destroying him. So I'm very happy about that with his goals, because they get an extra boost. I was very happy with that move. I've long been a fan of his, and I do think that people were a little concerned, like, oh, he's going to Buffalo, but he's going to be behind Dahlin and Power. And I was immediately like, not behind Power. I definitely think that Dahlin will get his spot back. Like, I don't think Byram is better than Dahlin, but maybe they'll split time as they're doing. But I think that Power, I've always thought of Power as a better all around guy, you know? So I think that Byram certainly deserves, and we're seeing, I don't think it's just a fluke that he's excelling when giving this opportunity. So I think it's somewhat sustainable. I mean, obviously he's not going to score 3 goals every 4 games, but I think that the offense, to some extent, if Buffalo can remember how to score, he can get, you know, a few more assists. But he is very talented. And I think that he's going to be good for a long time. I don't know exactly what was happening this year because some of his underlying metrics were worse this year, but in general, he's a super strong play driver, and he was amazing when they won the cup. So I think he can get back to that. And so, yeah, I definitely ride him if you like ride him through the playoffs if you can, because I do think he's also excited. He's got to show what, you know, show what he's got for the rest of the season, the new team. And that's something that you can, you know, pin your hat on a little bit.
Buffalo's got a really nice playoff schedule too. So he's kind of a, he's a really nice candidate for you to pick up right going into the, these playoffs coming up here. You guys have talked about that four sport fantasy league on Fantasy Hockey Life a fair bit. Do you do that through Fantrax, or is that something that you have to do offline to, in order to like coordinate the sports?
There's some offline coordination that happens, but it's all on Fantrax. Yeah. So each sport has its own thing, but you know, there are inter-sport trades, and those, you know, you just send it separately in each, you know, thing. You agree to it, you know, in the Discord, and then you kind of send it off. But yeah, it's been, it's, and it's a, everything but football is a contract league too. So there's extra complexity, and it's, yeah, it's crazy. So we drafted everything at once this summer, and all the sports at once. So of course, me knowing hockey, I let my co-GM take a lot of other sports first, and we faded hockey, and I still ended up in the semifinals. So that's crazy. It was crazy though. And it's a lot of fun. I'm learning a little bit about the other sports, but I'm like, I don't have the bandwidth to get good at those other sports too.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Now that I feel like I used to know a lot about, a little about a lot in various sports. Obviously hockey's always been my number one, but I'm a fan of football, basketball, baseball. But ever since I started doing this podcast, my bandwidth for everything else has just been like, I've had to push everything else on the back burner, because I'm just too in the weeds with hockey right now. Calgary, they have Matt Coronato and Daniil Miramanov, their new acquisition that they got in the Noah Hanifin trade, playing on the top power play with Sharon Govich, Huberto Kadri. They have some injuries up front. I know Mangiapane was out with an illness. Andrei Kuzmenko was out with an injury right now as well. So they've had to call up some players. So Matt Coronato back in the lineup, playing on the top power play. But Daniil Miramanov, that's the name that I'm interested in the most. What do you think about that? What do you think about Miramanov and his long-term outlook, Victor?
Well, I think that mainly they're probably just seeing what they have in Miramanov. I'm not sure that he's like the next, superstar defensive, you know, offensive defenseman or anything like that. But I do think he's a serviceable guy, and I think that he's shown he can play at a decent level. But yeah, if you're thinking like he's gonna be the next coming of Cale Makar or something, that's definitely not the case. But I, you know, they're trying to see what they have in this new acquisition, and they just traded away seeming like all their defensemen. So they're gonna have to give some other people some opportunities. So, you know, you like to see what guys can do, and he's making the most of it. But I wouldn't expect a super not large amount of production to continue for Miramanov.
Carolina has two new power play units. We've got, well, in the last game, it's interesting because this it could just be timing of when penalties happened. But the unit that I would consider to be power play two got more minutes than the unit that I would consider to be power play one. So the power play two unit is Stefan Nason, Teuvo Teräväinen, Jake Gensel, Martin Natchez, and Brady Shea. Power play one, we've got Evgeny Kuznetsov taking the Michael Bunting spot with Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, Seth Jarvis, and Brent Burns. I was hoping that Gensel would get that spot on power play one, but they decided to go with Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov's looked actually quite good the first couple of games. He had six hits last night, which I don't know that he's ever had six hits in a game in his career. I don't remember him hitting at all. So
someone ran into him probably.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So he seems to have found new life a little bit. Doesn't have any points, I don't think, yet, but he's looked like he belongs a little bit in that lineup. So I don't know. What do you think about that? Or like, would you prefer Gensel over Kuznetsov on that top power play?
I have zero faith in Kuznetsov, so
yeah,
I don't want to have anything to do with him. I don't trust him. You know, it's so effort and interest level driven with him.
Yeah,
I mean, I hope the guy all the best, and I hope he, you know, does well and all that. But I don't trust him because he can just decide he doesn't care and he's just awful, or he can decide he really cares and he can be great. And I don't want a player like that on my team. It's so temperamental. But yeah, this is also the issue with Gensel, is that you kind of know that they spread things around in Carolina. So it's not great for the superstars like him who really deserve all the deployment and all the time. So it's a little bit frustrating.
Colorado, we've got Arturi Lehkonen out with an injury right now. So Val Nichushkin is getting an opportunity back on power play one, which is super exciting. Before he went into the player assistance program, he was absolutely popping and playing on that top power play with McKinnon, Rantanen, Drouin, and Cale Makar. So we're back to that unit. I expect for them to pop off. They looked pretty good the other night. Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about Nichushkin? Do you think he's there to stay, Victor?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I would be more nervous about Drouin when Lehkonen comes back. I think that he's probably more likely to recoup that spot. We know that it's McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar, and then the other two are sort of interchangeable, but and Drouin's been a little cold, if I remember. So anyways, I think Nichushkin, and he even scored an even strength goal, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he's, I think, more likely to stick than Drouin and Lehkonen. Yeah, it could be Lehkonen or Drouin, but between those three, I would rather bet on Nichushkin and Lehkonen, frankly.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so Dallas, we've got it was actually kind of interesting. So Miro Heiskanen was actually playing with the Duchene, Wyatt Johnson, Logan Stankoven, Mason Marchment unit, and they had more power play time on ice than the quote-unquote first unit, who had Thomas Harley playing on it. So that's a different look for Dallas. They pretty much had the same unit all year long for power play one. But are we thinking that with Johnson and Logan Stankoven being so hot, that they're kind of flip-flopping these units and maybe just giving them, or are they just giving them a little bit more time right now just because they're kind of feeling themselves?
I mean, Dallas is just, they're just such a wagon, right? They're such a good team.
Yeah.
If you had a second power play or an even power play, you know, you're not that upset about it because they are so talented. Although, of course, you want your guys to have all the time. But yeah, Stankoven and Johnston are just so, and with Ben, are incredible. And I think that, you know, you'd be pretty happy about that. It's interesting, Harley and Heiskanen, and I said this a while ago, I think early in the season, when Harley came in the playoffs last year and looked really good. He's, I think, a better fit for the top power play, quite frankly. I think Miro Heiskanen is amazing, and he's one of the best all-around players in the world. But he's not, like, the most dynamic offensively. He's just really solid. And Harley is a little bit more creative. He's better at kind of walking the line and finding these great seam passes. So I think it makes sense for him to be on the top power play. So, you know, and even if he ends up being on an even power play, like even if they flip and put Harley with the sort of second unit or whatever you want to call it, first or second, I still think there's a lot of value here for Thomas Harley. And I also think at even strength, the acquisition of Chris Tanev, who is not really super relevant in fantasy, but I think he can help other players just unlock their offensive potential because he's just such a good shutdown guy. I think it's kind of underrated that offensive defensemen need guys like that as their partners to really thrive. I mean, obviously they can produce without it, but they can produce even more with it. So someone like Harley, who's been kind of up and down and cold right now, I think he could really thrive.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The Philadelphia Flyers, we've got Travis Konecny back from injury and Cam York playing on the top power play. They had Igor Zamula there for a little bit. There are some reports that Jamie Drysdale could be coming back from injury fairly soon. Do we think that Cam York gets bumped off of power play one for Jamie Drysdale? They've kind of stuck with this unit for a little bit now. For most of the year, they were kind of like just shuffling power play one all around. We didn't know who was going to be playing there. Didn't seem like Tortorella really cared. But they've kind of stuck with these four forwards. It's Konechny, Tippett, Frost, Farabee, and then just cycling through that defenseman still at this point. So do we think Drysdale, is that his spot when he comes back, do you think, Victor?
I mean, who knows? It's been so frustrating. This is why I've kind of just stayed away from this entire situation. I just don't want to have anything. I don't want to try to predict because it has been volatile, and that's frustrating. So I'd like to get my power play production elsewhere, someone that I can depend on. But certainly, I think it's reasonable to think that they might get Drysdale on there. It is a lefty righty situation, so I'm not exactly sure about the configuration. But if they're happy with what York is doing as a lefty, maybe they just keep him there because they'd have to rearrange some things to have Drysdale up there, which I know is a consideration. But I think York is pretty underrated, you know, in this role. And actually, I was just looking at his log and the power play time. I mean, this is kind of a dub, but the power play time seems very important for his production. And I don't just mean that in terms of power play points. Like when he plays a lot on the power play, he tends to score more even strength points too, which is kind of interesting. So I think that even if he isn't scoring a ton on the power play, it seems like him just getting those offensive minutes seems to be helpful. And as the weather will continue, I don't know, but I would certainly be interested in trying to stream that spot if it's available to you. But I'm a little nervous about it just kind of moving all around. Like in Dynasty, I have all these guys, so I don't have to worry about it as much. But if you're trying to stream the one spot, that's frustrating, right?
Yeah, definitely. In Toronto, Cali Yarncroke saw a bit of power play one time. Mitch Marner's been out with an injury in the last game. It sounds like he might be out for a little bit. He had an awkward fall on Saturday night against Montreal, or I guess no, it was the previous night against Boston, and then missed the last game. So Cali Yarncroke probably a nice little stream there in the coming weeks. A guy that you might want to look at for if he's getting that exposure to Matthews and Nylander on the top unit. That's a pretty nice spot for him. Washington, we've got Hendrix Lapierre. You mentioned him, how he's heating up a little bit. He's playing on the top unit with Oshie, Strom, Ovechkin, and Carlson. So Lapierre has 7 points in his last seven games. Underlying numbers aren't great, but he is converting pretty well and getting some nice exposure to some of the top guys on Washington. So, I mean, you already kind of touched on Lapierre. We can move on and maybe move forward here. Sure. Let's go to from zero to hero. So this is where we talk about some zero G targets. Let's dive in. There are a few notable names, especially coming out of the trade deadline. So Columbus, we've got Daniil Tarasov, who's 4% rostered. He started two straight games recently, and then relieved Elvis Merzlikins in the last game after he allowed 3 goals on 4 shots against Montreal. Tarasov was then perfect the rest of the way. They ended up losing 3-0. But he's been really solid of late. He actually has a 941 save percentage in his last 5 games. He's a really highly touted goaltender, and he is, it seems like he's kind of finding his way, at least in the last little stretch. How do you feel about Daniil Tarasov, Victor?
Well, I've been a truther of Daniil for a while now. He was coming into the season, he was a number 10 overall prospect goalie. And a lot of people gave me a lot of flack for that. Like Columbus is so bad, but it's like, yeah, but you know, that isn't everything. And he's kind of showing it now, right? Like he's really looking solid. And even though the team in front of him is not great, and we see Elvis really struggling, it's nice to see that. I definitely am a fan of his. And I think that Columbus, you know, you may not get the win, but you're going to get a lot of shots. And he actually has gotten, you know, a couple of wins to his credit. And you look at who, I mean, it depends on who they play, because they got Ottawa and San Jose. San Jose is definitely could be a win. Ottawa, they seem to like to let other teams beat them. So that's a, that's a possibility. And they play Winnipeg on Sunday, which is probably a loss. But I think you can count on him as much as you can trust a decent goalie on a bad team, which is maybe not very much. But at least depending on if you're talking about points versus like categories, he might get blown up, but at least there'll be a lot of saves to hopefully buffer that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Montreal, Sam Montembeault is 22% rostered. He is kind of an interesting option now that Jake Allen is gone. We've got that third goalie option out of the picture. So it's now just him and Caden Primo. Primo has actually looked pretty solid the last little bit, but Sam Montembeault, I think, is their 1A now that Allen's gone. He has a 9-13 in his last five games. Are you streaming Montembeault anywhere?
Probably not. But I do like that that has been a consideration for me is, how much is he going to play? And so I'm more interested now that he's more likely to get more starts. And he has been kind of decent. So I'm kind of interested in that, but in general, I'm not sure that I like him more than Tarasov. It kind of depends on how long you're looking. If you're looking at someone who could play a decent number of games for the next several weeks, then I think Montembeault is probably a decent option.
In New Jersey, they've got two new goaltenders. Kaapo Kähkönen played the other night, had a pretty solid start against the Rangers. They did end up losing, but he's 6% rostered. It sounds like Jake Allen is going to get a start later this week. He's figuring out visa things right now. I imagine that these two are probably going to end up being a tandem to finish out the year in New Jersey. So, I mean, both of them could be an option for you going forward. They're maybe not going to get the volume that some other guys are going to get, but they're certainly going to play. And New Jersey, like, honestly, as a team, they haven't played that poorly. They've had a lot of bad luck. They've had really bad goaltending. So if these guys can just play league average, they're not going to make the playoffs at this point. I think they're too far out, but they have like a decent team in front of them. So it's not the worst situation in the world. It's not like a Columbus situation or a Montreal, like we mentioned prior. Like, there is a good team in front of these guys. So I don't know. How do you feel about Kähkönen and Allen here?
Oh, I don't trust any New Jersey goalie. I mean, you're right. I feel like, they have a better chance of winning than a goalie for Columbus, but I think they also just get blown up very often. So, and there's been some Nico Daws starts. There was Vanecek, and it just seems like they are prone to have really bad starts. And I don't think it's necessarily all the goalie. I think the way that team is playing, they're just a little too loose defensively, and they create a lot of offense, but they give up a lot too. So I don't know that I would want a Jersey goalie unless wins are like more important in that format than I would, sure. Which is what you mentioned here, that, looking at, at least for one context, looking at wins being 3 points. So if that's important, then you might bump up the Jersey goalie a little bit.
I'll just quickly go through the last few. So Jonas Korpisalo is 46% rostered. He's looked decent the last three starts, 9-23. Ottawa got a win against Pittsburgh, which, that's not really saying much. That's like two of the coldest teams in the league battling it out. Like, someone had to win, but I don't know. It was close. They almost both lost. The Flyers, we've got Sam Ersson. He's the volume starter there, has been pretty inconsistent, but they have a decent team in front of him. He's 46% rostered still. I think he's definitely a good option. Philip Grubauer in Seattle, he has a 9-30 in the last four games. He's had a pretty good run, but Joey Decord got two straight starts recently. He had a 9-22 in those two games. And then Grubauer the other night, last night, we mentioned this game with Seattle and Vegas. He allowed five, where they blew a lead with 13 seconds left and then lost in overtime. So I think the door might be back open for Joey Decord here, who's 59% rostered. So he might become relevant again, where in the last few weeks he was kind of, he was not rosterable because he just wasn't playing. So I don't know. What's your take on that situation? I'll throw to you on that.
Yeah, I think that Grubauer, I mean, he's you follow the money, you know, he's going to get the opportunity, but he's just been so bad. And Decord was surprisingly, I mean, it looked like he was going to save. We kind of did save the season for Seattle, at least let them have the opportunity. So I think he's earned a lot of rope there. I don't know that the meltdown against Vegas was really Grubauer's fault. I kind of feel like he will get the next start, because watching that game, it was a lot of what happened around him. And it's not like the goals he gave up were soft. One of them was to Marchessault with a wide open net that was a crossing pass that should not have ever happened. So I think there's probably still a little bit more rope for Grubauer based on his last few games, but I wouldn't be surprised if they alternate a little bit. I do think that I agree with you. The door is probably slightly open for Decord, but I don't know that either one of them is going to play the next four in a row.
Sure. Yeah, I think eye test is important for goaltending. In a lot of cases, I do think that there's a balance as well. Like, I'm obviously a numbers guy. I podcast for Apples and Genos, but I do think that there is a time and place for eye test, and especially with goalies, definitely. So I'm glad that you saw that game. The Canucks, we've got a wide open opportunity for Casey DeSmith. He is 29% rostered. That rostership is rising right now. He's going to get a run for a few weeks with Thatcher Demko out. This could be a game changer in your fantasy playoffs. So we've got a question here from Dave Matlock in the chat. Alex Lyon lately, woof. Who is my next hashtag zero G for weeks 24 to 26 playoffs? I would say probably Casey DeSmith is your guy, at least temporarily. That's the best situation right now, and he's going to get a ton of volume. Washington, we've got Charlie Lindgren, who's 38% rostered. He has started six straight games. Kemper is getting the start tonight, but he has a 933 in his last five games, Charlie Lindgren. So it seems like he's the starter now in Washington. What are your thoughts on that, Victor?
Yeah, I've been a fan of Lindgren for a while, and I was kind of banging the drum that he should get more starts early in the season. But I also think that they're probably, you know, Kemper is their guy once Lindgren falters a little bit. So it is only going to take probably one bad appearance, and then we'll see Kemper again. But, you know, the team is fighting for playoff spots. They're fighting for position, so they're going to ride the hot hand. But I do think Lindgren is good. I don't think he's the kind of guy, though, that's going to, you know, be in that position for a long time. Like, I don't think he's a future starter necessarily, but I think he could be a 1A moving forward. He's on a really great contract too, for those in cap leagues. But I think money does speak, and I think Kemper will take over again within the next several games.
All right, let's go to Hutch versus. This is where we make picks for the next week for zero G candidates. For sub 50% rostered goalies, we're each going to make a pick here. The last week, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, because I didn't have a guest last week, but Chris from Fantasy Puck got the win over me. So my season series record is 9-6. I have the lead. Victor's going to get a shot here to take me down. Victor, who is your pick for the next week?
So we're going starts for the whole week.
We are going starts from tomorrow, Thursday, until Tuesday next week.
Okay. I wasn't sure how long we were going out. I thought it was just one game.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. No worries.
So I have to think about it now, because I know who I like, but it kind of depends on who they're playing.
Fair enough. Do you want me to go first?
Why don't then? I let you go first? Yeah, you
can. Okay. I usually give my guests the first pick, but I'll take it this time. I'm gonna go with, and I feel bad because this was your pick for okay, that one okay. game. But yeah. I'm gonna go with Danil Tarasov. Columbus has a good schedule over the next week, and I feel like he's going to get a few starts here. I think Elvis is kind of he's struggled a little bit lately, so I feel like the door is wide open for Tarasov to get some starts. And I think they want, like, he's their starter of the future, So to finish out the year, I think they're going to see what they've got there and kind of let him figure himself out. And he's been pretty hot lately. So I'm going to go with Danil Tarasov. Who is your pick, Victor?
Oh man, this is so hard because there's some guys that I want to pick, but they're playing some really tough opponents. And so that makes it I could understand why you went there. And yeah, I really do like Tarasov. But I guess, you know what, I'm just going to go with what I generally like to do in these positions when I'm faced with this choice is just go with not necessarily the team, but go with where I think has the best talent and has the best opportunity to win. And I think that's actually Sam Ersin. So even though he probably has the hardest schedule out of anyone, because he plays Boston, it's a really good team, but then he has the Blues on Monday. So I think there's a decent chance. And even if they don't win both of those, I think there's a decent chance he gets a lot of shots. So I'll go with Ersin.
Yeah, I think Philly's probably the best team in front of any of these zero G candidates, for the most part. They've kind of just been like a Corsi wagon all year. Like they've been pretty awesome, both offensively and defensively. It's just a matter of Sam Ersin performing, and he's the volume starter right now. Like he's got that opportunity, so that's I don't hate that pick at all. So you've got Sam Ersin. I have got Danil Tarasov. We will see next week who comes out on top. All right, let's hit the hockey hotline. This is our mailbag segment. I'm gonna ask a question for Victor to kick things off. So my question is, what were your three most notable prospects that were moved at the trade deadline this year, Victor?
Yeah, and this is, I was mentioning when we hopped on who we were just talking about on the Dubber Prospects report. So if you want to hear more about that, go over there. But I think that there's a couple of candidates here. Cruz Lucius probably has one of the highest upsides of all the guys that were moved. And he's Chaz Lucius's little brother, who's a Winnipeg prospect. And Cruz is tearing it up in the NCAA right now. He's a point per game over the last two seasons at Wisconsin. And he was going to have a hard time finding any opportunity in Carolina, but moving to Pittsburgh, where their pool is pretty bereft of talent, I think he has a pretty decent chance of playing some NHL games in the next couple of years. He probably needs an AHL year, but I think he was one of them. Jakub Perreault goes back to Montreal, where he was born, where his dad played, where he's from. I think that could be a really good opportunity. He's kind of stagnated his development, but I think he has some pretty big upside if he can figure out how to jive in that system and getting the right opportunity, because he can score goals, Jakub Perreault. And that's actually Gabe Perreault's big brother, Gabe Perreault, who was tearing it up in college right now and was a really high draft pick. So I think those two are pretty darn interesting. The rest of the guys are kind of depth guys, but David Edstrom, who went to San Jose in the Hurdle deal, Edstrom is probably more of a middle six guy, but you know, he could be, you know, something closer to like a second line center. And then Jack Thompson, who went to the Sharks from Tampa, kind of not great for him, because in the Tampa system, he was going to get some opportunity soon because they have nobody in their system. but going to Sharks, he's going to have a little bit more competition, but the Sharks are actually pretty thin on the back end as for prospects. So he's a pretty good offensive, you know, puck mover, that kind of thing. So he's kind of interesting. And I think the other two I'll just mention, Ville Koivunen and Vasily Ponomarev, they are probably better depth pieces. So don't be fooled by them. But I think it does help Pittsburgh quite a bit in terms of the depth of their system. So there wasn't I think the Cutter Gauthier trade that happened earlier is probably the biggest name of anyone who moved situations. But I think Jakub Perreault, Cruz Lucius have some decent chance of playing it in the NHL and having some decent upside, but there wasn't like a huge, oh my God, this guy's a no brainer. And now he's playing for this other team. That didn't really happen.
Love it, man. Love it. Super Forecaster has a couple questions in the chat here. We'll hit those before we hit a Discord question or two. He asks, thinking of dropping Letang and or Shabbat, both Harley and York are available. Which drop slash add best? I don't know. What do you think here, Victor? I feel like I'm not dropping Chris Letang. I don't know. I know Pittsburgh is having a real tough go right now, but Letang has hung on and had a decent season despite a ton of adversity, both personally and with the team. Just with Erik Karlsson coming on board, kind of taking over. A good chunk of his power play opportunity. He's still been pretty productive. Shabbat, on the other hand, if Cam York is getting that opportunity on power play one, that's interesting, but Philly's power play also isn't that good. So I don't know. What are your thoughts here? I'm feeling like maybe you should just stick with Letang or Shabbat.
I mean, the vibes are so awful in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And in Ottawa, really, frankly.
Well, yeah, but they didn't push all their chips. I mean, they kind of thought at the beginning of the season, but they've been bad for most of the season. At least Pittsburgh kind of thought they were going to be there. And then, it's just pretty bad. I actually dropped Malkin in my dynasty today,
which
was weird, but he's been just terrible. But
he's awful.
Letang is a slightly different story, but he hasn't really done anything much. I mean, it lasts like 20 games. What does he have, like 4 points? So, and he's not like shooting a ton. I get it. That would be hard. I mean, it would really depend on the schedule for me. If the schedule were in favor, I would probably consider either of those swaps. But I don't think you should think that Harley is locked into that slot or York. So I think you got to be real careful. I know it's like throw everything to the wind and just think about what's happening now. But at the same point, if in your second week, you make it through and then, you're losing one of these guys that could have some decent production, you want to be a little bit conscious of that. But I think if the schedule worked out for your team and it was better, then I'd probably consider either of those, frankly.
He also has another question. Would you drop Markstrom for Tarasov? Markstrom has some decent matchups in the playoffs too. So Markstrom right now is day to day with an injury. So my opinion is I wouldn't drop Markstrom, but I would, if you can put him on your IR plus and pick up Tarasov, I think that's probably an ideal situation. I don't think I'm dropping Markstrom right now though. What do you think, man?
No, definitely not. Tarasov, as much as we like him, it's also possible he has a rough next game and then Elvis is back in for a few. So I wouldn't do that. No, agree with you.
For sure. For sure. I'm taking a look at the Discord questions. It seems like we covered a lot of these topics that people have brought up. But Curl Fuffle asks, Tarasenko has been getting line one, power play two, but only getting 13 minutes a night. Do you expect to see time on ice go up? I mean, I would expect so with him playing with Barkov and Sam Reinhart on the top line. That is a little bit surprising to see that time on ice so low. I don't know. What do you think, Victor?
Yeah, I would. I noticed that too because I actually have Tarasenko in a couple leagues, and I was very happy with the production. And then I was like, oh wait, but he barely played. I'm not sure about that. I think the usage, it still depends on how they use it, right? Because yes, he is with Barkov, but not all the time, clearly, because Barkov's playing more shifts than he is. So maybe they're alternating him with someone else. I'm not sure. I would expect it would go up though. Then 13 minutes, that just seems really low. But I wouldn't hang my hat on it because they do have other players that can fill that role. So it's hard to predict.
It's kind of hilarious. I'm looking at these Discord questions and we literally answered all of them without even thinking about it. There's questions about Tarasov, Merzlikins, Seattle goalies, Evgeny Kuznetsov. Is Lindholm a drop? it's kind of hilarious. Zudo does ask, and we sort of touched on this, but he says, how do you see Johnston and Stankoven playing out? It seemed like Johnston was set to be their 2C, but could Stankoven overtake him? Is Stankoven a center, Victor? No. Is he more a winger?
I don't think he's a center. I think he's a winger. I mean, he can kind of do anything, but I don't think you want him as your center. He's much better. He's, for a small guy, surprisingly, he's very good on the wall. He's very shifty. He's just awesome. I love Stankoven. And in fact, if I had to choose between those two, I had Stankoven ranked, I think, like the 12th overall prospect coming into this year. So, I mean, I love the guy. I had him ranked higher than Johnston. I mean, Johnston's rise was just so surprising. But he is more, I think they can leverage Wyatt Johnston to be more of that middle six center. And so that might actually hurt his fantasy value just because he can do more of that, you know, two-way game, even though he is certainly more offensive. But Stankoven, you like that for his fantasy value too, because as a winger, he can just move up and down the lineup and more likely, you know, first or second line. I don't think he's playing third line. He's too good. So I don't think that was a question, but if I had to choose between those two, it would be Stankoven, even though he's only played a few games. He's just so good.
Yeah, he's got so much upside. He's so fun to watch too. I'm a big fan. I'm a fan of that being kind of a pair that plays together moving forward in Dallas. Like they're a lot of fun to watch together. Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's all we got for today, Victor. Thank you so much for joining me. Why don't you just take a minute and plug everything that you're doing? You're doing a lot right now.
Yeah. I was kind of exhausted just hearing you mention at the beginning, which I appreciate. You can follow me on Twitter. I refuse to call it X, at Victor Nuno 12. I write at EP Ringside, primarily about prospects. Cam Robinson, Mike Clifford, and I do kind of the fantasy angle. So I'm writing about like established NHLers and prospects. So if there's someone you want to hear about, feel free. But I definitely recommend EP Ringside, not just for my content. I think it's some of the best stuff out there. And I also podcast with Pete Harling at Dauber Prospects Report and with Jesse Sevier, Fantasy Hockey Life. So we definitely cater more to Dynasty and Fantasy Hockey Life. And we're going to have our team previews coming up here in the next month or so. And with Pete, we just do all prospect stuff all the time. So we cover all the different tournaments and all the different, you know, drafts. And we're going to do our organizational ranks. So lots of good stuff. If you're interested in prospects and Dynasty, that kind of stuff, check it out.
Yeah, definitely check that out. I think I love what you guys do because there is a hole in the fantasy hockey market for content on prospects and Dynasty. And you guys, what you guys do is unmatched right now in the fantasy hockey game. So I'm definitely a listener and a fan.
Thanks so much, man. Yeah, and I really appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate the stuff we've been doing together in the fantasy hockey universe as well. I appreciate your support.
Of course, man. Absolutely. All right. Please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you to those who already have. It's helped us a lot with our audience growth. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're trying to hit 1,000 subscribers by the end of the season. We are well on our way, but we could use the help. And I say this every week, but even if you just listen to the audio, I know you've got a Google account. Head over to YouTube, give us a subscribe anyways. It does help us out a ton. Also, if you like our content, check out the Apples and Genos Patreon to support us on a monthly basis. Hop into the Apples and Genos Discord server. We're having tons of discussions about fantasy hockey in there. Shout outs to the band there for providing our music. Their Spotify link is in the episode description. Follow us on X. Nate is at Apples Genos. Blake is at Blake Creamer AG. I'm at just Joshin 41. Please practice safe stats and happy streaming. Have a good one, folks.